So the next sugya is... maybe we should see a few more lines and then we'll go back to do Chazara, because the sugya after that is really a different topic completely, and we're going to launch into the whole sugya of Reach, Birkas HaReach, which is a whole complicated sugya in its own right. So let's just see a couple more lines of the Gemara, and then we'll go back, Be'ez Hashem, to the Mishnah, and we'll do some Chazara. So the Gemara says, V'hu Oymer al HaMugmar, that we saw in the Mishnah, that whoever was the one who made a bracha over the Yayin, he should be the one to make the bracha over the Mugma. The Mugma, as Rashi explained on the Mishnah, was some sort of incense, pleasant fragrance that they used to smell after benching. Says the Gemara, Midaktani. If you state, because since you stated Vahu Oimer al Hamugmar, quote unquote, Michlal, we can deduce from there De Ika Odif Mine. What does it mean, De Ika Odif Mine? Literally translated, that there is somebody better than him. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Michlal De Ika Odif Mine, says Rashi, Va'afilu Hochi. And nonetheless, given the Aschil B'choda, seeing as we started with one of the brachas, and now since he started with the bracha over the wine, therefore Ovid Le'idach, so too he does the other bracha. Yeah, does the other bracha, which is the bracha on the Reach. In other words, if the Mishnah tells me that whoever made the bracha over the Yayin, he should be the one to make a bracha over the Reach. If you did bracha number one, then do bracha number two. So the implication is, if that's something that needs to be pointed out to me, so the Gemara has been medayik, it sounds like that essentially it should have been somebody else. That's what it means. Mechal the odif mine. There's somebody actually better off, somebody who really should have been number one on the list. And he should have been the one to bench or make the bracha over the mugma. What does it mean, odif mine? Who's odif than him? Why am I being told as a big chiddish, you know what, he's the one who makes the bracha? Who would have been first in line? Now, the next few words we're going to miss out because the Vilna Goyen misses them out. And we go to the next line in the Gemara where it says, Messiah Elei L'Rav. That whole line, Va'amai, Hoyel, V'hu, Not Al Yodav, T'chir Ba'achrein, the Vilna Goyen, and the Marshal, they all take them out. So you can put them in parenthesis, and we miss out those words. Seven words we miss out. So, Messiah Elei. It caused a lot of confusion?
Yeah.
Right. So, if you look, there's an Aleph there.
Yeah.
You can see the Aleph in parenthesis.
Uh-huh.
So, look on the left-hand side, in the middle of the Omid, Vilna Goyen. Bia Hagro. Wait, are you on the right hand side? Excuse me.
Okay.
So the Bia Hagro says Gemara.
Yeah.
Va'amai hoil v'hu notal yodo ba'achreino nimchak. What does nimchak mean? It's all erased. Take out those words. So we take out those words and we just go immediately to the next line. In fact, if you look in your Gemara, it appears twice, because if you look on the word va'amai, there should be a star there. You have a star, or in the fancy Gemara, something else?
No. Nothing here.
Yeah, you definitely got something.
Just Aleph.
Yeah, but they continue over here. Okay, in the old fashioned Gemaras, which I like, there's a star of Nachum.
Yes.
And if you look at the left hand, the right hand side margin, Reishin Lamed. Yeah, you got it? Reishin Lamed, that's the Marashal. Mem Zayin, Moichek Zeh. Moichek Zeh. He rubs this out, add, until the word Ba'achreino. Until the word Ba'achreino. Yeah, and that's what you've got over here as well. V'chein Mochak HaMarashal. So it seems to be that everybody agrees that these words should be taken out, and they really don't really make sense if you include them, and for that reason they've been omitted.
You could have saved an hour yesterday.
Almost.
So again, the question was mechlal. Well, it's not so much a question; it's just a diuk. Mechlal de ikka de odif mine. It sounds like there is somebody who perhaps is superior. Mesayele, that would be a proof. Lerav, why? What did Rav say? Tomar of Chia Barashi, Omar Rav. Rav said, Hanoitel Yodov Tchilo Ba'achroina. Whoever washed their hands first, Ba'achroina. What does it mean, Ba'achroina? For my machroinim, who mezuman lebracha? He is the one who is mezuman to make the bracha. Which bracha? So Rashi says, Anoitel Yodov Tchilo. B'mayim achroinim, whoever washed their hands first with regard to mayim achroinim, who mezuman, he is the one who set up b'birkas hamozein, and presumably the bracha of the mugmar immediately afterwards as well. Meaning, essentially, if we were to be asked a question, we have a few people sitting together, who is the one who should bench and make a bracha on the mugmar? It's whoever did mayim achroinim first. And that's what we're saying. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that if you had somebody making a brocha over the wine during the meal, you should know that actually he will end up doing the benching and the mugmar. Okay. So which the Gemara has been medayik. What do you mean he? Why? Who should it have been? What, is there somebody better off than him? Yes, there is. Because essentially, who should have benched? It's the one who did mayim achroinim first, and that's why we need to be taught in our Mishnah that even though under ordinary circumstances, yes, the one who did mayim achroinim first is number one on the list, but if somebody made a bracha on the wine, he is in fact overtakes him and he gets promoted to the top, and he in fact makes the bracha over the mugmar. Why? As Rashi on the Mishnah said, because whoever begins the process ends it. But by the fact that the Mishnah stressed it, it sounds like that essentially it should have been somebody else. And that's why we need to point out, no, actually it's him. What do you mean it should have been somebody else? Who should it have been? Says the Gemara, this seems to be a proof, therefore, to the opinion that says, whoever does my machreinim first, he benches. Meaning, if the halacha would be that who benches, anybody you like, makes no difference, you can choose, makes no difference whatsoever, then when you tell me that the one who made a brocha on the wine, he's going to be the one who benches and makes the brocha over the mugmar, it's not that you're promoting him ahead of anybody else. He's no worse than anybody else. You're allowed to choose who you're going to invite to bench. Says the Gemara, no. The diuk over here is that it sounds like that we're promoting him. It sounds like that we're pushing him up the list because there was somebody else who was supposed to bench. Who is that somebody else? Says the Gemara, that somebody else is the one who did my machronim first. So what's the halacha if you don't have somebody making bracha over the wine? Then who benches? The one who did my machrin. So essentially he's number one. He, the fellow who made a bracha over the wine, is promoted above the my machrinim guy because he was the maschil b'mitz.
So that means you go to a kohen first? We go to a kohen first?
Yeah, kohen for sure goes first.
We don't do that today. Usually the person who makes kiddush doesn't always bench.
Not about kiddush. Kiddush maybe there's no maschil because that's before the meal. If you made a bracha during the meal, then the benching is considered the hemshich. But certainly for Zimun, essentially you should be mechaber the kohen. I know we had a kohen staying with us last Shabbos, or two Shabbos actually. So we had a Zimun every meal, so we mechabered him to a bench every meal. Now, it's an interesting situation because, you know, I asked him to bench Friday night, so he accepted. Shabbos day, and he accepted. He said, oh, it's very nice. I already benched last night. I said, yeah, but there's mitzvah, mechabed the kohen, v'kidashtoi. Came to Suda Shlishes. I said, we'd like to bench. So it's really like a bit awkward for him. You know, I have a bit of a takeover show here. So it's a kohen. Now, the halacha is he's allowed to refuse. as opposed to the aliyah to the Torah, he's not. If you call up a Kohen for the first aliyah, he's not allowed to say, no, I'll forego my kavod. The Gemara in Gittin explains why. So the question is, it's all fine and well. Let's say this Kohen of ours says to me, listen, I've benched Friday night, I've benched Shabbos morning, you know, enough's enough already. Give the benching to somebody else. So I'm thinking to myself, one moment. It's all fine and well that he's trying to be very polite and nice. But if he doesn't bench, then I haven't been mekayim the mitzvah, been mechaber the Kohen. So I want him to bench. So why is he being polite at my expense? If he benches, I've got a mitzvah, right? Which mitzvah? Mechaber the Kohen. So he says, no, please, I benched you enough for it. What do you mean? I want to give you the benching because it's a mitzvah, mechaber the Kohen. So I'd rather you didn't refuse, so maybe I should insist that he benches. Unless you tell me a big chiddush, that the very fact that you invited him to bench, that's the mitzvah of mechaber kohen, whether or not he ends up taking the kavod or not. That's a big chiddush. But either way, essentially, and by the way, there's a big discussion. There is definitely those opinions who hold that the kiddushdoi, which is the mitzvah to be mechaber kohen, is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's a minatira. So if it is not something just to be dismissed, if a kohen in your house, l'chayra, you should be mechabed him to bench. Mitzvah d'oraisa, according to some opinions. We've got a discussion now. If he refuses, is he doing away with my mitzvah or not? Okay. Says the Gemara.
Can I ask you a question? Just maya machrum. Mm-hmm. The proper thing to do is put the maya machrum in front of the person who is going to bench.
I'm not sure if people are makpid with this halacha, but
right. That's what I was going to ask. It's
one second. You have to go back a stage. Many don't do maya machrinim anyway.
Okay,
that's a different issue. My personal minig is we don't do maya machrinim. Right. You do maya machrinim, Rachum? Rom, you do maya machrinim? Which day you do maya machrinim? Just on Shabbos? So we don't do maya machrinim at all, as is known. The Yekas don't do maya machrinim. Shulchan Aruch already says that some have a minig. Obviously, one should do whatever your minig is. But one should give maya machrinim first, not only, but first to the one who benches. By the way, if we're already mentioning it, just the Mishnah Berurah is very upset. The Mishnah Berurah writes very, 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 very sharply in Hilchas Mayim Achreinim, and I would humbly suggest that many, many people are guilty of this, or at least make this mistake. The Mayim Achreinim has to be, it covers all of your fingers.
It's up to a certain.
Maybe even all of your hand, but certainly all of your fingers. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ra Olai Maisa. Ra Olai Maisa means, as far as I'm concerned, it's very bad, in my opinion, says the Mishnah Berurah. What people do, they basically just sort of dip their fingers. They dip their fingers in the water, so that's a waste, total waste of time. Total waste of time. Now, I was in somebody's house, and I pointed this out to the Balabais, and he got a bit upset with me, because he had some very snazzy Mayim Achreinim gadget. What was his Mayim Achreinim gadget? In the traditional Mayim Achreinim, you know, you have a bowl and you have a cup and you pour it over your hands and Bob's your uncle. So his Mayim Achreinim gadget was, that the best I can explain it, it was basically, there was no bowl and a cup. Rather, it was, as it were, I mean, obviously there was a bowl to catch the water, but in it there was a cup with a tap. And instead of opening the tap, it's not like you open a tap like a regular faucet. Rather, it's like a little stick, as it were, protruding from the Mayim Achreinim cup. And if you push that, then water comes out. Right, so you've got the stick coming out, you just push it in into the hole that's containing it, then water dribbled out. At best, you will get a bit of a dribble of water over your finger that way. Definitely not covering your whole fingers, no question about it. Unless you put your fingers and you hold it for quite a long time till all the mayim leaks out. So I showed him this Mishnah Berurah, Ra Olai Maisa. Imam Hashem Mekayim, the Mishnah Berurah. He was a bit upset. Okay, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah does say. Okay, says the Gemara, a little bit of a story here. Let's just excuse my throat a little bit. Says the Gemara, Rav the Rebbe Chia have a Yosvi Kamei the Rebbe Besudasa. So you have two Gedolei Amoraim, Rav and Rebbe Chia, who are both sitting in front of Rebbe at the Suda. So Rebbe is apparently the Baal HaBayis. Omalei Rebbe l'Rav. So Rebbe said to Rav, Rebbe was the host, he said to his guest Rav, Kum Moshi Yadech. Get up and wash your hands. Moshi is to wash. Get up and wash your hands. Chazye, he saw, who saw? Rashi says, Ruchia, the other guest, saw that the first guest, Rav, who'd just been asked to wash his hands, Dava Mirtus, he was a bit scared. Mirtus means afraid or scared. Why was he scared? Says Rashi, Shema ro'o yodai meluchlochois. Why is he asking me to wash my hands? Maybe it means that my hands are dirty. That's what he was afraid, which is unbecoming to a Talmud Chacham, that his hands should be dirty. Or, Shema, perhaps, he'erachti ba'achila yesa midai. Maybe I've been eating too much, maybe my Baal HaBayis is trying to give me a hint, you know, enough's enough. Stop eating so much. So that's why he got afraid. You know, what is Rebbe trying to hint to me? Can you please go and wash your hands? What, you mean my hands are dirty? Or you mean because I'm non-stop eating? What's going on over here? So he reassured him, Amalei Rebbe Chia, don't worry. Bar Pachsi, which in the margin says, Pirish Bar Gedolim, the son of great ones, don't worry. Iain Bebirkus Mazoina Ka'omar Lecha. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Kan Nosan Lecha Rashus Lavorech Birkus Amozin. Don't worry, he's not criticizing me anyway. The reason why he wants you to wash your hands is because he wants Machabed you with benching, Shahan Meitel Yodov Tchila, because whoever washes his hands first, who? Mavorech. He's the one who's going to make a bracha, which is a bit interesting. It means, presumably sounds like Rav didn't know this halacha.
Is he a Kohen?
I don't know. It sounds like Rav didn't know this halacha. Or maybe he did, but he was still concerned. He was being given a musa shmuz. Either way, that is the halacha. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're going to stop over here. The next sugya is all about the sugya of Birkas HaReach, which is a complicated sugya in itself. Let's go back and do chazara of an omad and a half. We'll go quickly. If I'm going too quickly, then please stop me. Says the Mishnah. Birech al hayayin shelefnei hamozein, poteres hayayin shelachar hamozein, as we know. Birech al haparperes shelefnei hamozein, poteres haparperes shelachar hamozein. Birech al hapas, that will exempt poteres haparperes, but al haparperes loy poteres hapas. We saw machloikus what exactly this parperes was. Tosfos learns it's pasabo bekisnim, which means it is actually bread-like. And that's why we're being told a chiddush that it does not exempt bread. Otherwise, why would I have thought that it should exempt bread? But Rashi didn't learn like that. Bei shamayimrim afloi maisa kedera. So too the parperas will not exempt maisa kedera. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Hoyu yoishvin, if they were sitting, then that's not a kvias. Then kol echa mavarech la'atzmai. But hesevu echa mavarech la'kulam, because that's a proper kviyas ball or hem yain betoich hamozain, then that's different. Kol echa vecha mavarech la'atzmai, that we saw in the Gemara. Why? Because we said the beis habliya is not ponder. They're busy swallowing their food. They can't concentrate on the food, on the mavarech, because they're busy concentrating on their food. Achar hamozain echa mavarech lekulam, then one will bench for everybody. For hu oimer ala mugmar, and he's the one who also will make a bracha on the mugmar, as we just mentioned. even though the mugma was not being brought until after the Suda, and therefore I might have thought that what? It can't really be considered a continuation of what went before it. Why not? Because it's not part of the meal, Bechlal. So why would you say that he's considered a maschil and now he's finishing off? L'chay, there's no connection whatsoever. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that no, because it's taken immediately following the meal, it is, as it were, considered a continuation. Says the Gemara. Omer Rabba Barachan, Omer Beichanon, Lo Yishanu El B'Shabbosos V'Yomim Toivim. That which we said that the bracha on the wine before the meal will exempt the wine after the meal was only said on Shabbos V'Yom Tov. Why? Hoyel V'Odom Koivea Sudosoy Ala Yayin. Because a person is regularly, it's normal, to be Koivea Suda on wine, and therefore, when you made your bracha of your first cup, you certainly had in mind that you're going to have another cup as well, because that's the norm. Avul Bashar Yemois Hashan, but all other days of the year where it's not normal to have several cups of wine. So then, Mavarech Al Kol Kois for Kois, and what was the key word that we kept using? Nimlach. Because during the weekday, each Kois that you have, you're considered to be a Nimlach. Nimlach means you've changed your mind, it's a new decision. Unless, of course, as we saw Tosus points out, if you had das in the beginning, well then you're not a nimlach. Says the Gemara, it manami abaravari, omer b'shua ben Levi, lo shonu al b'shabosis b'yom tev. And he adds, u'b'shosh odom yeitzim beis ha-merchatz b'shas ha-kozas dam. Apparently the norm was, when he came out of the merchatz or did bloodletting, apparently there too, it was normal to have a yayin suda, so therefore you're not considered a nimlach. In which case you make one bracha, and that will exempt all the subsequent wine. Now, what about the other way around? What would be in a case where Shabbos or Yom Tov you were not planning on having more wine? That's the next case. Rabba Bar Meri Ikla Lebei Rava B'Choyl Chazyei Deborech Lefnei Amozoin. He saw that he made a bracha before the Mozoin V'Hoda Borech, and then he went again and he made another bracha L'Achar Amozoin Amalei Yiyasher. What does Yiyasher mean? Well done. V'chein omar b'shua ben Levi. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef ikle lebei abaye b'yom tev. Now this is the opposite story. He went to him on Yom Tov and chazye de borech al kol kasa v'kasa. He was making a brach on every single cup. What's going on? Didn't we say that on Shabbos v'yom tev it's the norm to have several cups, in which case you only need one bracha? Omalei loy sovar lomar. Don't you hold of Lahod Rabishua ben Levi, that which we said that Shabbos v'Yom Tov you only make one bracha? Amalei, so he says, Nimlach Ano. What does it mean, Nimlach Ano? I don't normally have wine throughout the meal. Therefore, for me, I'm a Nimlach. So we see there's no real cast iron rule. Shabbos, Yom Tov, weekday, it all depends really on what your das was in both directions. The Gemara poses the question, what happens if there was no wine before the meal? The first cup that was brought to the table was yayin betoich hamozoin, which is called lishrois. Can that exempt the wine after the meal or not? That's the shaila of the Gemara. Maybe you'll say that what? Birch al hayayin shelefnei hamozoin, poiteres hayayin shelachar hamozoin. Do you know why? Mishum dezeh lishtois vezeh lishtois. They're both identical types of drinking. Aval hocha zeh lishtois vezeh lishrois. One is for the sake of drinking, one for the sake of digesting. Maybe it's not quite the same. Oydum aloshna. Or maybe no, there's no difference. Any drinking is drinking, irrespective of its purpose. So we see a machlokes. Rav Omar, Poita. Rav Kahan Omar, Eina Poita. Rav Nachman Omar, Poita. Rav Sheshes Omar, Eina Poita. Rav Huna, Rav Yudah, Kol Tamidu, Rav Omri, Eina Poita. Remember we saw, Tosfos says, it seems to be the majority opinion, the Talmidim of Rav, in fact, overruled their own Rebbe, so it seems to be the halacha is it's not going to patter at all. If you remember, Tosfos had a discussion, what will be in the reverse direction? If you have Yain, Shelefnei HaMozoin, would that exempt yayin shebetoich hamozoin? And that Tosfos says is not subject to the Shaila of Al Gemara, and that's Poshut, that it would definitely exempt. Why? Because Lishtois and Lishtois is a downgrade. So if it managed to exempt the super Chiyuv, then certainly the lesser Chiyuv. Our Gemara is discussing the other way around. If you began with the lesser Chiyuv and now you've upgraded, maybe the upgraded Chiyuv will not be incorporated. But certainly if you're downgrading, then for sure, definitely it will be included. Says the Gemara, Eisvei Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava asks a kasha to Rav Nachman. Remember, Rav Nachman is the opinion that says that it does exempt. One moment. We've learned in our Mishnah, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mevorech Le'atzmoy. La'achar Amozoin, Echad Mevorech Le'kulom. Now, what does that mean? Echad Mevorech Le'kulom. According to Rav Kahana, according to Rav Nachman, once you have wine during the meal, that exempts the wine after the meal from another bracha. So why is our Mishnah saying that if you had wine during the meal, the halacha is such and such, and then the wine after the meal, the bracha is made? Which bracha? What bracha? There is no bracha. You've already exempted it. Says the Rav Nachman, no. Amalei ochi ka'omar. Like we always said, ka'omar doesn't... Right. Comma doesn't mean this is what it says. It means this is what it means. Im loy bolahem yayin b'toich hamozayin, elo la'achar hamozayin, echa mevorech l'kulam. Don't read the Mishnah in one breath. It's two separate cases. One case is if they brought the wine during the meal, and then the Mishnah means to say, but if, however, the wine was not brought during the meal, rather only after the meal, then this is the halacha. But it doesn't all mean, it's not one long case. It's not that wine was bought during the meal and then subsequent to that, wine was brought again after the meal. No. If wine would be brought again, then Rav Nachman is of the opinion that you don't make a bracha second time round. So Elomai, we're forced to say that when the Mishnah talks about the wine at the end of the meal, it doesn't mean it was brought again. This is talking about that it was never ever brought until this point. Fine. Birch ala pas poter esapar peres ala par peres loy poter esapas beishamay emir mafli maisa kedera iboy elohu. So the Gemara poses the following question: what exactly is beishamay coming to disagree with? Beishamay aresha pligi or dilma asefa pligi? To koma tanakama, the Tanakama said birch ala pas poter esapar peres. He says, if you make a bracha over bread, then that would exempt your parperes. But kol shekein ma'isa kedera. Why is it a kol shekein? Because the ma'isa kedera is definitely considered more
bread-like,
or more as the main part of the meal. Therefore, it would definitely, it's not a fringe part; it's a main part. Therefore, it's definitely exempted. So, does it mean that Beis Shammai is coming to argue with that? Va'osi Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai is coming along lemeima to say that no, loy mi boye, not only but parperes de loy potru lehu pas, not only does bread not exempt the parperes, el afilu maisa kedera nami loy potra. He's coming to disagree totally with the Tanakam, and he's telling you that the brocha and the pas will not exempt the parperes or even the maisa kedera. Is that what he's coming to teach me? Oidilma no asefa pligi. Maybe his argument is going on the Sefer. Not when you make a bracha over bread. Rather, it says in the Sefer, Birich ala parperes, loy potar es hapas. And maybe the Tanakama means to say that pas hu de loy potar. It's true that parperes doesn't exempt bread, aval maisa kedera potar, but maisa kedera will be exempted. But also be shamal meimele, that no, vafilu maisa kedera nami loy potar teiku. The Gemara leaves it as a teiku. So in other words, we have a suffix. Is Beis Shammai disagreeing with the Reish or the Sefer? Is he telling you that bread, the bracha over bread, will not exempt Maisa Kedera? Or is he going on the Sefer and he's telling you the bracha over parperes will not exempt Maisa Kedera? That is the suffix, and the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Says the Gemara, Hoyu Yoishvin kol echod ve'echod. Hesevu en. Loi hesevu loi. You see that it's only considered to be a kvias if what? If they're leaning, but sitting not. So we have a problem. V'raminu, we have a stira, asara shayolchim baderech, 10 people who are going on the way. Afal pishe kulam oichle mikikar echod, even though they're all sharing one bread, but kol echod echod, mevorech la'atzmo, even everyone makes their own bracha. Why? Because the fact that they're sharing food is irrelevant. That's not a kvias at all. It's not a kvias, they're all walking. But if they sat down, yashu le'echod, and then the opposite. Afal pishe kol echod echod oichle mikikaroi, even though every person's eating their own bread, but echol mevarech lekulam. So what do you see in that brisa? Ketani, it stated, yoshvu, afal pishalo hesev. So how can you tell me that the only kvias is when you are leaning but not sitting? And here in the brisa it says, no, walking, you're right, that's not a kvias. But sitting is. Omer of Nachman, by Yitzchak Goin. Here we're talking about the Omri, where they said, nasal, we're going to go. V'nechol lachma will eat bread, b'doich plan in a particular place. So it was planned from the outset. It didn't just happen to sit down. If you're going on a trip and then you just decide all of a sudden to sit down, that's not a kvias. You just happen to sit down. But when you planned, this is the official picnic on the Greybeard trip at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're all going to sit in the forest, sitting, eating our meal, then the yeshiva is a kvias, and therefore one makes a bracha for everybody. Ki noch nafshe de Rav. When Rav passed away, Ozlu Talmid of Basre, the Talmidim went, as Rashi explained, it was in a different city, so presumably it was a long trip, a number of days, to went to go and bury him. Ki hodri, when they came back, again, presumably the next day or 2 days later, Omri, they said, nezel v'nechol lachma anahar danak, let us go and eat bread at a particular river, which is exactly the case we just spoke about. So Bosad the Karachi, after they had their bread, Yosvi v'komi boilu, they sat and they said, 1 second, Hesevu dafka tanan, is Hesevu dafka, that's got to be Hesevu, and that's the only case where it's considered a kvias, aval yoshvu loy, oidilma, or perhaps not. Given the omri nezel v'necha orifta beduchta planisa, because we said we're going to eat in a specific place, maybe ki hesevu domi. Maybe that is like hesevu, as in fact the previous Gemara said, loy hava biyodayu. What does that mean, loy hava biyodayu? They didn't have an answer. It wasn't in their hands. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't get it. We don't know. Kom Rav Ada Ba'avo, Rav Ada Ba'avo stood up. Ahadar kare la'achoyre. He turned round the tear, which was on the front of the beged, and he put it to the back, so that the back of the beged, which had previously been untorn, would now be in the front. For kora kriya achrina, and he tore again. And he said, Omar, noch nafshe derav. The Rebbe has died, birkas mezoin eloi gomrinon. And we haven't yet learned birkas hamozin. So here we are, left stuck without the Rebbe. So for the fact, as Rashi points out, even though this was not the Yom HaMisa, because that we said, the Kvura was out of town, so presumably it took a number of days. But it's as if it was the Yom HaMisa, because now they felt the loss of the Rebbe, because here they had a Shaila, they would have wanted to ask their Rebbe Rav, and they were unable to, because he passed away. It says the Gemara, Da'osa Hahu Saba, until there was this elder who came along, Romi Lahu, and he asked for them this contradiction that we asked before. Masnisin Abraisa. He was the one who said, I can prove it to you because we have a Mishnah and we have a Braisa, and there seems to be a whopping contradiction. Why? Because the Mishnah says that you've got to have Heseva. The Braisa says that Yeshiva is good enough, it's a contradiction. What must be the answer? Vashani Lahu, and he answered for them as well. Because you said you're planning on eating in a particular place, so it's not as if the Talmidim didn't entertain this possibility in the first place, right? The Gemara said quite clearly at the bottom of the previous Omer that this was one of their tzadim, but they just couldn't nail it down, they couldn't come to a conclusion. So this Saba says, well, I can prove it to you, because there is a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, which is exactly what the Gemara asked in the previous Sugya, and there's no other way to reconcile it. So therefore your Sofek was a perfectly valid Sofek, but now we can really bring it to a conclusion that if you say clearly that we are going to plan to eat in a particular place, and even if you're sitting, but that's considered a kvias. It's not that you happened to sit haphazardly. Rather, it was all planned from the outset. Hesevo echom avarech omarav. Loishanu elopas. That's all true with regard to bread. The bo'i hesevo, that's where hesevo is required. Avol yain loy bo'i hesevo. But wine doesn't require hesevo. What does it mean it doesn't require hesevo? Even if you're not leaning, you're sitting. With regard to wine, that's enough of a kvias. No, I disagree. Afilu yain nami bo'i hesevo. Even wine also requires hesevo. So Rabbi Yochanan is being machme. Ikud Omri, some have an alternative version, and they say that no. Omar Rav, loishonu elapas, demahanye le hesevo. We only learn this halacha with regard to bread, because that's where hesevo will help. Not that where you require hesevo. That's where hesevo does. That's where hesevo can be considered a kvius. However, aval yain loy mahanyele hesevo. What does it mean loy mahanyele? Not that I don't require it. It doesn't help. Why doesn't it help? Because wine, it doesn't matter whether you're sitting or leaning, is never considered to be a kvius. Even if you're leaning, it's not a kvius. You don't have a wine party. To which Rabbi Yochanan is responding, Rabbi Yochanan, afilu yain nami mahanyele hesevo. That no, I disagree, says Rabbi Yochanan, and for wine also hesevo does help, which means that Rabbi Yochanan is being a mekel. So according to the first Lashon, he's being machmin, he's telling you that what? The hesevo doesn't help. Excuse me, that you require hesevo for yain, so he's a big machmin. According to the second Lishna, he's saying not that you require it, it does help. He's being mekel, because according to the first Shitter, it didn't. So now we have a problem in both directions. Meisvei, Ketzad, Seder, Seva. What was the order of leaning? How did you bring in the guests? What was the order of the day? Orchin, Nichnosin, V'yoshvin. The guests would enter and sit down, Al Gabba Sfolim, Al Gabba Katadrois. On the benches, on the chairs, and Shikonsu Kulom, until eventually they'd all entered. As Tosis pointed out, because of covered for the bracha, everybody would wash one hand. So the wine was brought, and they definitely haven't started the meal, so everybody made their own bracha. They then got up from where? From these chairs and benches, and they got onto the beds. And they leaned, ubolahem mayim, and now they brought the proper mayim rishayin. Mafapisha kolecho ve'echo notal yodayachas, even though they had already all washed one hand, nonetheless, chayzev anoytel, shtey yodov. Now they had to do full blown mayim rishayin, mnetilos yodayim. And they ate. Bolahem yayin, wine was brought to them. Afapisha kolecho ve'echo baruch la'atzmoy. Echod mevarich lekulam. One would make a bracha on behalf of them all. That is the end of the brisa. Now, leheich lishna, according to that loshein, the omarav loishanu elopas the boi hesevo, avol yain loi boi hesevo. That was the first lishna, according to lishna number one, in which Rav said that it's only bread that ever required hesevo, but yayin never required hesevo. And even if you are sitting, that's a good enough kvias for yayin as well. So what's the problem? Kasha reisha. So the reisha is troublesome. Why? Because what does it say in the reisha? That in the beginning the wine was brought and everybody made their own bracha. Now, what are you going to tell me? Yeah, do you know why they made their own bracha? Because they hadn't started leaning yet. But I thought you told me that wine doesn't require leaning, so why is everyone making their own bracha? So he says, no, that's not a problem. Shani orchin de da'atayu lemeakar. When you're a guest and you're just waiting in the temporary lobby outside, so your das is to be oikar. What does it mean, das to be oikar?
Uproot yourself. move.
And you're going to move to the beds. Therefore, as long as you haven't arrived there, it's not considered a kvius. Therefore, it might well be that generally wine does not require hesever, and sitting is good enough. But when you're sitting with replan afterwards to move yourself, then the sitting is not the kvius. It's just a preparation, but you're not there yet. Says the Gemara, what about according to the second Lishna? Ulehech Lishna. According to the Losha number 2, Do'amar Rav, in which Rav said, Lo shonu elo pasta mahanyelea seva, avol yayin loy mahanyelea seva. According to the second Losha, it wasn't an issue of whether it's required or not, it was an issue of whether it actually helps. And Rav says that when yayin, haseva doesn't help. So why does it say over here that when they eventually, in the sefer, kashia sefer, when eventually they got onto the couches, onto the beds, it says everybody made a bracha, one person made a bracha on behalf of everybody. So what are you going to say? Yeah, because they're leaning. But according to the second Lashon, leanings, Eseva doesn't help for Yayin. No. Shani Hossam says the Gemara there is different. The Migu to come Mahanyele Eseva le Pas, Mahanyele Eseva le Yayin. The wine rides on the back of the Pas. Because this leaning on the couch is considered a kvius with regard to the pass, therefore it will be considered a kvius with regard to the accompanying wine as well. If you lean on your couches and you only have wine, then that's when Rav says, I'm sorry, it's not considered a kvius. There's no such thing as a wine party. But if it's being subsumed by a bread party, that's normal, you have a bread meal. So then once you get onto the couches and that's considered a kvius with regard to the bread, that's what it means, migu. Since it's a kvius with regard to A, so mamela with regard to B. So the yayin will be subsumed, as it were, by the bread, such that the kvius on the bread is considered a kvius also on the wine. So wine in its own right can never be considered a kvius. But together with bread, it can. So we said that what? If the wine arrived in the middle of the meal, so even if they're leaning, everybody makes their own bracha. Why? Why is it that during the meal everybody makes their own bracha, and yet la'achar ha'mozoin echad mevorech l'kulam? Omalahem hoil v'ein beis habli ponui. Because the beis hablia, which is the throat, is not ponu, is not empty. What does that mean, it's not empty? Because during the meal, what are you doing? You're busy digesting. If you're busy digesting, so everybody's concentrating on their own swallowing, so you can't concentrate on the mevarich. So you cannot have one person making a bracha on everybody's behalf, because nobody's listening. Everybody's concentrating on their own digesting. Mash ein kein. After the meal, where you're finished, that's a different story. That's why if it's la'achar ha'mozein, then echam avarech l'kulam, because nobody's eating anymore. Now we said, Tosa says, once you say savri, will that be considered the end of the meal? Says the Gemara, the piece that we just saw a few moments ago, v'hu oimer ala mugmar. Midaktoni, seeing as it states, v'hu oimer ala mugma mechlal, the implication is the ikka odif mine. Obviously, there must be somebody who essentially should have been number one. And we're being taught that no, that the one who made a bracha over the wine is promoted. Who is the one who should have been number one on the list? Messiah Leila Rav. This seems to be an approof to Rav. T'omar Rav Chia Ba'ashi, Omar Rav, Hanoitel Yod of Tchila Ba'achreina. Whoever washes their hands first for Mayim Achreinim, who mezuman lebracha. He is the one who's being set up for the bracha, and therefore essentially he is the number one on the list. That's why our Mishnah is teaching us that if, however, somebody made a bracha on the Yayin, then in fact he gets promoted, and therefore he's the one who benches, makes a bracha on the Mugma. And that's what the story was as well. Rav Reb Chia v'Yosef Kamei de Rabbi Basudasa, they both sat with Rabbi in the meal. Omele Rebbe, so Rebbe the host said to Rav, Kum moshi yodeich, go and wash your hands. So Chazi, Dav Emeritus, Reb Chia saw that he was rather upset. As Rashi explained, maybe he's being given Musa. You didn't eat in a polite way, your hands are dirty. maybe he's being given musa that you're eating too much, it's time to stop. Amalei Rav Chia calmed him down. He says, Bar Pachsi, the son of great ones, don't worry, Ian, Bebrikas Mazaina Kamalacha. What he means is to mechabed you with Birkas Amos, and he's not giving you musa that your hands are unclean. He's not giving you musa that you've eaten too much. He's trying to tell you that he wants you to bench. That's why he's giving you maim to wash your hands with first. And that, my friends, is that. So in the remaining 3 minutes, I'll tell you about a vote in the name of Rav Chatzkel Abramsky. An amazing vote in this week's parasha. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky in Pashas Ve'eiro, right at the beginning, where we are told the fall of Shoinis of Geula. And it says, Vahitzesi, Vahitzalti, Vegalti, the first three. Then it says, Velokachti eschem lila'om, I will take them, take you for me as a nation. When's that? That's obviously at Matan Tahira. Vayisi lochem le'loikim, vidatem, and you will know, ki ani Hashem le'keichem, amoitzi eschem itachasiv lo'is Mitzrayim. And you will know that it was me, Hashem, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Now, what does that mean, that you will know? But until then, they didn't know. What does that mean? So Rav Chatzkel Abramsky said an incredible thing. He said, until Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah, they cannot possibly view or understand Yetzias Mitzrayim properly. Because you're not looking at it through the prism of Torah, because you haven't yet been mekabel the Torah. So obviously they were aware of the facts. They knew they were in Mitzrayim, and they knew there was a Shibud, and they knew that it now stopped, obviously. What the Pasuk is telling me is, V'lokachti eschem li la'om, I will take you for me as a nation, I will give them the Torah. Then, vidatem, then there will be a proper yediyah, then you'll really understand. Because then you will have, for the first time, Das Torah. Das Torah. Now, I can't remember if he points out, or others point out, but in Parshas Yisroi, it says, so Yisroi heard, Vayishma Yisroi, what did he hear? Koyen Midyon. Everything that happened to Klal Yisrael, Rashi says, Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchamas Hamalek, he heard everything. Okay, he picks up his bags and he joins Klal Yisrael. So he joins Klal Yisrael and it says, Vayavoyhu ha'oyhelo. And he brought him into the tent. He brought him into the tent. If you look in the Targum there, the Targum says, not the Targum Unklos, the Targum Yonis Menuzil says, he brought him into the tent. Which tent? Like we know with Yaakov Avinu is the Yoshev Oyholim. Which tent is that? The tent of Torah. So Targum says he brought him into the Beis HaMedrash. Brought him into the Beis HaMedrash. So I think, no, this was an addition to Rav Chatzkel Abramsky's vote. That we wanted to add, why did he bring him to Beis HaMedrash? We want to give him Shir now on Hilchas Yayin B'Toy Chasuda? No. What he was telling him was, Yisra, you've heard about the Nisim. And you've heard Melchamas Amalek, and you've heard Kriyas Yamsuf, but you can't really understand the Nisim unless you view them through the prism of Torah. So you took them to the Beis HaMedrash to teach them Torah first. Then you see it differently. Which is a very, very sadistic of all, a very, very profound vow that Rav Chatzkel Abramsky is telling us. Two people can see the same thing, and really they will see different things. Because one's looking through the prism of Torah, and one is not looking through the prism of Torah. Which means, and this is negeh to us in our day-to-day lives, when we get caught up, for example, with the media, whether it's the secular media or, for that matter, in some cases, the Jewish media, and we read the news, and this is going on in America, and it's going on in Iran, it's going on in Britain, and this columnist thinks it's this reason, and it's the economy, and it's the finance, no, it's the military, no, I think it's something else. And that's not viewing it through the prism of Torah. What does Torah say about it? Now, the classic example would be, for example, Hanukkah. So if you tell the story, imagine you were a journalist at the times of Hanukkah. So the Yevanim, and you had the Chashmonaim, and they want to wage war, and they were successful, and they weren't successful. One second, why did they want to wage war in the first place? Well, presumably one columnist will have his opinion, it's for military reasons, no, it's for diplomatic reasons, no, it's for political, everybody would have their theory. You open a Shulchan Aruch, you open a Torah, and the Bach says, no, 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 do you know why this war happened? Because his Hisrashlu b'divrei Torah, ba'avodah. They were weak in their Avodah Hashem. And what eventually brought about the victory in Mulchama? When they were Moisa Nefesh for Avodah. So for all your open eds in the New York Times that tell you that this is why the war broke out, and you know why eventually they were successful? Well, in my opinion, because they had superior battle tactics, and it's the way they attacked from the left, and it was from the right, and someone else says, no, it was from the south. It's not true. That's not Das Torah. The Bach is telling you, do you know why the war broke out? Because they were weak in their Avodah Hashem. And you know they were successful eventually? Because they strengthened themselves in Avodah Hashem. That's looking at the news through the prism of the Torah. Not just basing it on our own mind. Rather, what is the Torah? How does the Torah view it? How does the Torah view it? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman once said, and this will finish, every single person, I think I mentioned this in the show recently, every single person has Das Torah. Every person has Das Torah. But how much Das Torah does he have? It depends how much of his Das comprises Torah. Meaning, if you involve yourself only in Torah, that's the only thing that fills your mind, that fills your Das, and your Das is 100% Das Torah. If I 20% fill my mind with Torah, but the other 80% I fill it with irrelevant things, so then I have 20% Das Torah. So then so too, that's the way I see the world. I see the world through the prism of 20% Das Torah. And that's the difference between us and Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, who dedicate their lives to Torah, who don't think of anything else but Torah, who don't fill their minds with anything but Torah, so it's not that they don't, it's they can't. They can't now see the world differently. Imagine if I gave you a pair of glasses to wear with a green lens. You don't choose now to see everything green, it's just impossible to see it otherwise. Everything will be green. If your lens is tinted red, then everything you see will be tinted red. It can't be different. It's impossible for it to be different. But if you have a lens which is half red and half plain, half transparent, then you might see things red, you might see things clearly. That's half your mind with Torah, half with other things. The Gedolei Yisrael's lens is tinted only with Torah, therefore they're incapable of seeing the world in any other light other than Das Torah. And that's what Rabbi Chaskel Abramsky is telling us. You leave Mitzrayim and you'll know all the facts. This happened and that happened and this, or Makkah number one, number two, number three, Makkah's Bechiras, Kriyas Yamsuf. But in order to fully appreciate it, V'lokachtem eschem li la'om, I will take you as a nation. You'll receive the Torah and then vidatem, then you'll really understand what's happened. Because then you'll have the perspective of the Torah and then you'll be zeichet to Das Torah. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Be'ezah Hashem.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.